Your Money Replay from Money FM 89.3. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money and Me, and I'm Timothy. Go in for Michelle Martin today, the part of the show where we get tips on how you can grow your savings, make smart investments, and spot latest trends in the stock market. Today, I'm speaking with Christopher Aw from Pundun Ventures. He's the managing partner there to help us understand how financial literacy has been transformed by modern advancements and the impact that has had a way on the people becoming more financially literate. Christopher, welcome. Thanks for joining me here this morning. What are some of the key advancements or developments so far that have altered the modern way of modern thinking of financial literacy?
Well, I think one of the major overarching concepts is basically information overload, right? We have a 24/7 news cycle. Yes. Everybody gets so much information that sometimes I think also everybody, we all feel like experts in every single investment class. And I think that's one of the areas where it becomes a little bit interesting. There's ideas like matching platforms, mm-hmm. where you can actually copy the trades of somebody, another trader. That's an interesting technology advancement that's come across recently. Robo-advisories are quite interesting.
Robo-advisories.
So basically you invest based on an agreed upon heuristic in the beginning, and then you're actually allowing that computer algorithm to do your trading for you, as opposed to going with active management or passive management, you know, mutual funds or ETFs that we're all kind of used to. And then I think one of the other bigger trends, and kind of one of the things that I focus in, is the private equity space, right? In private equity, a lot of companies are staying private for a lot longer, and so their growth stages of funding are actually private as opposed to an earlier IPO and then, you know, going through the public markets.
So how has all this impacted the way people invest their money with so many, as you said, information overload? One could be better than the other, one is more effective than the other, but that all depends on each person's individual circumstance, right?
Certainly. I mean, I think diversification in general is always very important when you're looking at investing. Having diverse portfolios in the public markets and bonds, you know, some people are a little more conservative and they want to have CDs, keeping a lot of things in cash, real estate, private equity, venture capital. We see more and more people that have an interest in those areas. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard to ignore some of the big company names that are going IPO and seeing that their valuations are 10x, 100x of the size of companies that we used to look at going IPO 30, 40 years ago.
With the speed in which we get information these days, and even publicly traded companies, we get information on Twitter, on Facebook, and on other platforms out there in real time. Are investors benefiting from all of this?
I think
the speed in mind?
Yeah, I think the idea of the speed and the amount of information is certainly helpful for the people that are going to take the time to go through all that information.
Okay.
I think that it's going to be very challenging for people to really understand the full investment landscape of even one of their investments, in private equity at least. How often does an investor actually know the name of the CEO of the company they're investing in? How often does people know the entire management team? That's pretty uncommon in a public company. Mm-hmm. It's very uncommon in a private company for individual investors. And so I think sometimes we go to people that manage money.
Right. But what would you advise people when it comes to reaction time? You hear something right away from publicly traded companies through the grapevine in whatever way it is, and then they react all of a sudden.
That's a great question. You use the word through the grapevine, right?
In many ways.
It's an accurate term because I believe in perfect markets. I think, you know, most economists and most financial analysts would agree that there's close to perfect, not mm-hmm. actually perfect, right? Or else there's no money to be made off of that. But I think the idea is that when the average person hears something about a public company, the entire markets have already priced that into their prices. So the prices already reflect that knowledge.
Okay.
So very rarely will you actually have insider information that nobody else has really figured out. So I think it's kind of challenging to see that. If you're investing for the long term, if you're investing in trends and you say something like, I really like the idea of plant-based proteins, right? And I'm not trying to get in on the hype of Beyond or, you know, Impossible maybe coming out. But the idea is that I really like plant-based proteins and I want to invest in that in the long term. That's a good concept.
Is that advisable, though? Because it's all personal, emotional, and it's yours. But it may not work out in the long term.
It certainly may not work out in the long term. And I would never say put, you know, all your eggs into that particular basket. But at the same time, if you personally have your own personal investment thesis that you think plant-based proteins are the way to go, we have some people that invest because they have personal interest areas such as the environment. And, you know, with the environment, people know that, you know, meat in general actually have one of the largest carbon footprints, and thus the plant-based proteins is actually a climate sustainability area besides just health. Health as a whole, separate discussion, obviously.
Okay. With all these information, though, when it comes to filtering all the information that you get, what advice do you have for investors on that?
Filtering information, I think it's more a matter of getting accurate information, and that accurate information is really just like anybody doing research, right? It's make sure it's coming from multiple sources. The idea of filtering, I think, is kind of hard from an aspect of if you say, well, I don't want to listen to this news station, right? Because this news station is giving me information that I don't necessarily agree with, is probably not the best way to go. I always want to hear kind of discerning opinions. Even in the investment space and private equity, it's better to have a whole bunch of people in the room that actually disagree about an investment, as opposed to if every single person in the room agrees about the investment, it's probably a little bit scary.
Okay, what about, you know, now with technology and all that information that is available out there, you start searching for something to sort of echo what you're already thinking about a certain company or stock. You start typing words that you have in your mind and you get the answer that
you're looking for,
of which may not be right.
Yeah, I think we do get what we're looking for oftentimes. I think it's as simple as looking for the, you know, opposing views, right? And I think you have to actively search out the opposing views and try to understand that. But I think from the investments in general, when we are using the word investing, in my opinion, it should always be focused on kind of a long-term approach. The short-term aspects allows us to fall into the ideas of hype, and that's probably what I'd be the most concerned about for any investor, especially people are doing it independently.
And what about precautions that investors should take when it comes to outdated information? Because there are still a lot out there.
Outdated information, such as if you were to look up the Uber IPO price, if you were to look up the Uber price right now, probably half the articles would be about the Uber IPO at $84 billion. So the concept of if you still believe that that's the price, just because you're reading an old article, that might be maybe an area where you see outdated information. But I think in the public markets, it's a lot easier to get accurate information. You know, going to your more trusted websites that continuously have updated pricing, constant news feeds for, you know, new articles. I think it's just basic research from that perspective. I think in the private equity space, that's when it becomes a little bit more challenging. In private equity, right, you have a lot less perfect of information, right? So if you find out that the valuation was at this number, it might be months old, and that might change it quite a bit.
Okay.
As an example, N26, a German digital bank, they raised at a $2.7 billion valuation, $300 million. 7 months later, their valuation was $3.5 billion, and they raised another $170 million. So in a matter of 7 months, right, that valuation changed by $0.8 billion. So that type of outdated information is not even that old, and you're talking about a huge increase in value.
Now, how do you suggest investors to, well, not overreact when it comes to fluctuating market, given the uncertainty that we have in the world today?
Well, I think all financial advisors would probably say something pretty similar along the lines of, you know, you invest for the long term, diversified in your markets and your investments. You do probably scale back when you do think that, you know, certain maybe equities are going to be hit harder and you might scale more into bonds. We do the same thing as, you know, we go through different life stages. So I think you still have to have a long-term approach to it, and you scale back, but you don't pull out of the market either. The market is still in the long term producing some of the best returns that we've seen. So pulling out of it would probably be a knee-jerk reaction that probably wouldn't help your portfolio in the long run on average.
What about cryptocurrency? How has it impacted the financial literacy of people, especially a couple of years ago when we saw this Bitcoin just going up and up and up and up, and people got into it, and then all of a sudden it crashed, or well, not crashed, but
Yeah. So cryptocurrency is a great topic in general. I think we could talk for hours just on that alone.
We'll get
right?
you in again for another time.
Happy to. Happy to. I always happy to come back. So in 2010, right, when Bitcoins first came out, and then I think probably what most people remember really is in 2017, right, when we saw the massive appreciation of not only Bitcoin, but basically hundreds and hundreds of what we call altcoins, mm-hmm. right, alternative coins. And in that space, right, you had a challenge because for the most part, many people were essentially gambling. And I hate to say it in that negative of context, but very few people understood the technical components of that. The idea that it's built on what's called a blockchain, what blockchains even do, how are they orchestrated, mm-hmm. And then the ideas of what those different altcoins were doing. People were really betting on the volatility. People were betting on the hype. People were betting on the names there. So I think that was kind of an interesting situation. For the idea of how it impacts financial literacy, I think many people have started to at least take an interest now in it and are trying mm-hmm. to learn a little bit more. Okay. But I think we're pretty far from the point where most investors into the altcoins really understand the mechanisms behind them, let alone the business that they're really trying to drive from that.
Well, I learned a lot from this conversation, Christopher. Christopher Aul, Managing Director, Pundan Ventures, helping us understand what's happening around the financial world with our financial literacy. Thank you very much, Christopher, for coming in.
More than welcome.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3, Money and Me on Your Money.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.